This is the Beer of the Day podcast.
From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. On the program this evening, we have the long-awaited Sour Show. We're calling it the Sour Power Hour. And we've got a powerful lineup lined up with four different sours from across the country. Crooked Stave in Denver, Urban Family, Aprium Dream, Seattle, Side Project in St. Louis, and from Cascade in Portland, the Sang Real 2016. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, and from Pasadena on Skype, Jeff Miller. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hola.
Is this going to take an hour?
No, it's going to take about 35 minutes.
So it's the power 35 minutes.
Yeah. The okay. Power half hour just doesn't have as good a ring to it.
I agree.
I thought about it, but
the full power half hour.
Okay. We'll go with that. Before we get into the first beer, anyone have any interesting beers this week or the last couple weeks? It's been a while since we did one of these.
I had one. It was the Grimbergen Double. And it was amazing. I rated it a 5. Would try again. Would drink again.
Where's that from?
Brouwerij Alkenmaes, I think, in Belgium.
Oh, okay.
Like an actual Belgian. Oh, dude, it was so good. It was caramelly with like banana. Oh, good.
Classic Belgian ale.
Very good.
Andy and I had a bright pink beer called the Friend Zone from Moxa Brewing in Rockland. We had that this week or last week, and I was told. Andy, for something psychology for me, I don't know what it is, but I drank it out of a can and then I poured it into a glass. My first sip, I really enjoyed, but then when it came out bright pink, I was like, man, dang it. But it ended up being a really good beer. It was an IPA style, but it had dragon fruit and I think one other, what was it?
Guava.
I think it was guava, yeah. And it was really impressive. They did a good job of bringing those together.
It's a pink IPA.
It wasn't overly fruity. Like there wasn't that much fruit flavor. It was good.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was a pink.
That Moxa is blowing up. Everyone's raving about it.
We went there. I feel like the hype's real. We had a lot of good beer there.
Yeah, I think for me, every time I go to the store or go to any brewery, all I see on the list is hazy, and like a cool way to say hazy, like cloudy, and then hazy. So it was good to get a West Coast IPA, even though it had dragon fruit in it and guava. I was still glad to have a change here for a little bit and get a West Coast style IPA.
Jeff, you had a story you wanted to tell.
I do. So no interesting beer, but I have a sort of a follow-up from the podcast that Dallas and I did a few weeks ago, our Three Philosophers Vertical Tasting. You know, we throughout the podcast sort of debated how long this type of beer should be aged and what our favorite was. So I contacted brewery Omegang and got in touch with Phil Leinhart, who is the brewmaster at brewery Omegang, and got his opinion on the matter. So it was really interesting. So he basically said that he has sort of two preferences. He either likes Three Philosophers when it's really fresh, meaning, you know, less than 6 months old, or he likes to age it for 2 to 3 years. What he said is anything past 5 years is sort of not recommended by him. You know, it's still drinkable to go past 5 years, and we certainly did that. We had a 2011, and we had the 2013, which was right at 5 years. He just says, you know, past 5 years, it's just, you know, it tastes like a really aged beer. It's heavily oxidized. You know, as the beer ages, it just slowly loses like the fresh sort of fruity, jammy flavors. And he said all of the, you know, Three Philosophers, it just sort of picks up flavors of like raisins and prunes and some leather qualities that I think Dallas and I described a lot of that as we tried that beer. So, you know, doesn't mean that a newer beer is better than an older one with Three Philosophers is more personal preference, but it was really kind of interesting to get his perspective.
And did you guys feel like that was, you know, that basically contradicted or validated what you guys thought from the 2011?
Well, I think that it maybe he's not giving it enough credit. It held up pretty well. The 2011 wasn't that different from the 2013. But there is quite a bit of difference between the older ones and the new one. And the new one was 2015, still 2 years old. So it wasn't exactly fresh, but I preferred the newest one because the newest one we had tried, it had a little bit more of the hop character, a little bit of the fresher flavors. Jeff liked the oldest one because it smoothed it out more and, you know, it kind of everything blends together a little bit better. And maybe it also benefits from the fruit being a little more subdued. It wasn't as bright a character in the beer. So I think it's all just personal preference, but it was pretty interesting.
And I think what he said really matched what we thought, like the fruitiness. Remember, it was the youngest one had a lot of cherry flavors and it was really like sort of fruit forward. And the older one had a lot less of that fruit flavor. So that makes sense.
We had the barrel aged Three Philosophers. What was that, Andy, last week? It was also really good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what year it was, though.
I think
was it a new one?
It was a newer one.
Pretty new, right?
Yeah, 2017. Yeah.
Barrel aged was good.
I barely remember it.
Hey, how many philosophers does it take to screw in a light bulb? I don't know. Let me think about it.
Pretty good. All right, let's move on to the first beer of the night. We have from Crooked Stave Artisan Beer Project. It's called Cassis Petite Sour.
Yeah.
This one is 5% from Denver, Colorado.
It pours like a, what is the pink wine? Like a pink Zinfandel?
Rosé.
Huh. Yeah, a little bit like a rosé. You know, when I hold it up to the light, though, it's a lot more like amber colored.
Looks pink, kind of.
So when I poured it, I didn't get any carbonation. I haven't tasted it yet, but there was no bubble or no head at all. Was there any head on yours, Jeff?
No, it never even had any from the beginning. You know, I think heads sometimes dissipate, but this just never had any from the start.
Did we describe the color accurately? It looks kind of...
It's a cloudy rosé.
Rosé.
Yeah.
It's like a pinky salmon color.
Yes.
Mine is crystal clear.
Salmon, melon. Mine's a little cloudy. I think Joel's looks a little clearer than mine. So do you have the first pour?
I had the first pour, yes.
So
mine's cloudy.
Yours the second. Mine's very cloudy.
Mine, it got shooken up a little bit during the pouring process. So the ones that got a later pour have a little bit of cloudiness to it. Yeah. Smell-wise, sour, obviously. You get a little hint of raspberries.
And maybe a little bit of strawberry, too.
Maybe strawberry. Also, you get the sour pear or sour apple type of smell also, which is kind of a common theme on a lot of sour beers. But this is quite a blend of different fruit aromas.
It tastes like a super tart green apple.
I agree.
Oh, man. I really wish it had some carbonation in it.
So that's what I was going to say is I wouldn't call it flat. There's like a little bit there that's dancing around on your tongue, but if you were to give this to me blindfolded, I would think that it could be wine.
Definitely.
Interesting. Yeah.
I actually agree. It tastes a lot like a rosé.
Yeah, it does.
Without a little bit, like the little bit of a wine burn finish that you get. It's not as much alcohol as a wine.
But. And I think if it were carbonated, it wouldn't.
It's a little more sour like than a wine, but you will get rosés like this. With those white wines, when they're chilled and there's no carbonation, it really takes on much of the same characteristics as this.
Well, and I also think that some of those white wines and rosés, when they're refrigerated, sometimes I feel like they still have a little bit of a bite too. And since this doesn't have much carbonation, it's very similar to me.
I do appreciate just like how crisp and clean it is though. I mean, it's a light body. It's only 5%. It's refreshing. I mean, it's not too sour. I'm interested to see sort of the variation here tonight. I don't think we're going for the most sour beers out there, but I just think it's kind of light and refreshing. And yeah, I agree. If you just tried this blind tasting, you could confuse it with like a sour wine.
I think obviously sours were were popular a few years ago, and they've continued to be popular. I don't think the craze is as much now as it was last year or the year before, but I think it's still quite popular. And as Jeff said, we're not going for the most sour beer, but I think we're going for a good variety of different sours. And I think that in this style, there's quite a bit of variation around different breweries about how they do it. Like, I think an IPA from one brewery compared to an IPA from another brewery is very similar a lot of the time. Or even, let's say, a pale ale, just because the IPAs have such differentiation. But if you say pale, then two breweries, it's going to be a beer that's pretty similar. I'd say on sours, you're going to get a variation as far as what their sour beer turns out to be.
Yeah, I think there's a large spectrum just in terms of the word sour. Like, that can range anywhere from tart to, like, you can't drink it without making a face, right? So there's a huge, like, spectrum there, and I kind of like everything in between.
Yep.
I think this brewery is, I think they're pretty well known for making, like, farmhouse ales and saisons and then into sours and a lot of barrel age and stuff. And I think that's their specialty. But a month or two ago, I had a hazy IPA from them. I think it was their first IPA that they canned, and it was so good. It was one of the best, like, hazy IPAs I've had. So interesting, same brewery, not related to sour beer, but I just really thought that was a phenomenal beer.
I'm not really getting any black currant on it. It tastes more like sour apple, like Andy said. But it also has kind of a little bit of a lingering syrupy finish that goes away, but it sticks around for a little while.
Maybe a little cherry. I mean, I get apple and cherry.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yep. Well, I think interesting beer to get us kicked off with. I would have liked it to have more carbonation. I don't know if we haven't had this beer this long, so I don't think it was a storage issue. I just think that's the style they were going for. So. Yeah. And now let's get into the beer news of the day. So I'm just going to run through a couple of stories that have been piling up lately, and you're going to see a theme developing, and then we'll spend a little time on the final one. Unrelated to the second three articles, the first one, Trump just this week announced that he's levying a tariff on aluminum and steel, and that's created a flurry of articles about the cost of beer and how the 10% tariff on aluminum could result in the loss of 20,000 jobs at bars and breweries and stuff. And then some other articles that weren't as prevalent say that the 25% tariff on steel also affects a lot of the kegging. A lot of the brewery equipment is all stainless steel. I guess it can affect it multiple ways. I think maybe a lot of it was a little bit clickbaity for the beer people. Yep. And I think it's probably a little much ado about, more ado about nothing than what you'd think it would be. So I don't know. I think it's maybe they're making a little more noise than they need to, but definitely that was the story that was all around the beer world this week. A couple old school breweries that are having to adapt their operations in the new beer world that we live in. So Boston Beer has seen several quarters of lessening sales.
Declines.
Thank you.
And is it decline in sales or decline in growth? Because it's a big difference.
Decline in sales.
Okay.
Single digit decline, but it is a decline. They attribute it to having to compete with 6,000 craft breweries.
Absolutely. And
I know myself, when I go to the store, I see something new every time I go, and I usually will buy the thing I haven't had before. There's been this trend where, I mean, obviously on this show, every beer we have is brand new. We've never had before. And so we're a little bit of a different case because we're always looking for new beer for this podcast. But just in general, as a beer drinker, I'm always looking to try new things. And a lot of that new thing is the hazy Northeast IPAs. A lot of those, A lot of new breweries that are out there that are canning and really killing it and getting a lot of popularity. So I can see why the competition would be chipping away at them because, you know, I've had thousands of Sam Adams Boston Lagers in my life.
How many in the last year or 2 years?
Not many, unless I'm at a casino and that's the only beer they have at the blackjack yep. table. So Boston Beer Company is coming out with Sam Adams New England Style IPA. They played around with the Hazy Rebel a little bit last year, and they've had this New England Style IPA at bars in the Boston area and around New England, and now they're going to release that in hopes that that can help, you know, have something new.
It's interesting because they're always late to the party, and they don't believe in. When IPAs became the thing, they're like, oh, we're not going to do an IPA. And then they realized it's basically the same article 5 years ago of, oh, we better make some IPAs or we're going to get screwed.
Right. And now we got to make some hazy IPAs, even though they're 2 years late to the game.
Right.
So that was pretty interesting. They're also coming out with the Sam 76 lager that I saw at the store tonight. So they got a couple new things. Now, really interesting, Firestone Walker is retiring Pale 31.
Yeah, I saw that.
They are putting Pale 31 out to pasture simply because the American palate it helped awake has decided this style is not for them. So they are hopeful that someday it will come back around. But, and Pale 31, they used to call it Sam or Firestone Walker Pale Ale.
Yep.
They changed it to Pale 31 10 years ago. I love that beer. That was one of the first pale ales besides Sierra Nevada, which we'll get to.
It won our pale ale comparison test, I believe.
We did at the cabin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Long time ago.
So that was a little, I just saw that today and I was a little saddened by that. But then again, how often do I go to the store and buy Firestone Pale Ale? You know, sometimes I'll get the variety pack if I'm going to a barbecue and there's like a bunch of people that aren't necessarily craft beer drinkers and I want, you know, the wheat one and the other one and, you know, so that there's enough, there's the Castaway, not Castaway, I'm drawing a blank.
Union Jack,
you know, so there'll be an IPA for me and there'll be pale for somebody.
And the DBA.
And there'll be the DBA and then the wheat one or the whatever lighter one, so... pretty interesting.
I think that's a genius marketing move because that's going to create demand when they say it's coming back. People are going to be excited about it again and be like, oh, I remember Pale 31. I love that beer. Like, it's coming back. We have to go get it.
It's like the McRib of beers.
So that was interesting. You know, are they going to have a pale ale? You know, are they just going to have IPAs? It's a little strange to take that out of the lineup. And in the last year, we've seen a lot of news about Sierra Nevada Pale Ale has been on the decline, right? They haven't been selling as much of it. They've been coming out with the Sidecar, which is like a fruity IPA or pale ale. They've come out with the tropical
IPA,
tropical IPA. So they like are trying to come out with new things all the time to try and do something to help their sales. But there was an article this week. After two consecutive years of single-digit decline, Sierra Nevada Brewery is refocusing its efforts on selling its flagship pale ale while also telling its story to consumers. So the chief commercial officer did this interview, and they were down 7% last year, which followed 6% decline in 2016, which is the first time in 35 years that they've actually had back-to-back years of mid-single-digit declines. There's also been a lot of... they've taken a lot of hits in bars and restaurants. He says there, you know, there used to be two craft beers, and they were one of the two, and they sold a lot like that. But now there can be 20, 30, or 100, and pale ale's there, but there's so many more tap handles to compete with. So the velocity goes down. He also added that pale ale placements get swapped out for special release offerings that only lasted until the kegs ran dry. And then once they did, competing breweries could more easily commandeer that draft line. So they have these special releases, Sidecar and whatever, and they give them a keg of it to try it out. Yeah. And then they take pale ale off And then pale ale doesn't go back on. They throw Track 7 or some other local brewery because you know they want to sell that one. So they have they lose a 20-year-old account because the emphasis on new has gotten so high.
I think that there's something to be said for a lot of these large breweries who at one point were like the pioneers of craft brewing, right? So Sierra Nevada, Boston, they've all gotten so big that they have lost their agility. And I think that that's part of what is appealing to craft beer drinkers right now is constantly trying something new. To your point, Dallas, like whenever you go to the store, you're going to always gravitate towards the beer that you haven't had yet. So I think that in Firestone retiring Pale 31 and in Sierra Nevada refocusing on pale ale and releasing some of these other like seasonal things, that's helping them kind of refresh their lineup and get people to keep buying their beer.
Yeah. And so Sierra Nevada is also releasing Hazy Little Thing, it's called.
Yeah.
So they're going to have their New England style IPA. And they want to do a better job of telling their story. People think Sierra Nevada is big beer, and they're not. They're family owned. They're the biggest non-big beer you can get.
Yep.
But you're right. I think Firestone Walker, Sierra Nevada, Sam Adams, all these big craft breweries, in reality, they've fallen behind the times.
They have.
And these other smaller craft breweries are more agile, and the beer they're making is better.
It's easier to fail fast and move on, right? So if you develop this flagship beer and it's like pale ale, you're going to keep making it for 20 years. People are going to get tired of it. Whereas and that's why I think it's a good idea for Firestone Walker to retire Pale 31. It's about demand, right? So people aren't going to have it for a while. And then when it comes back, they'll be like, oh, it's come back around. It's new again, right? Like, and so failing fast, there's something to be said for failing fast. Like if you make a crappy, you know, batch, then all right, move on and make something different. If you make a great batch, then people are going to keep talking about it. And when it's no longer available, they're going to keep talking about it and want it even more because they can't get it. And then you come out with something new and then they'll buy that.
Right. But yeah, that was something I didn't think I was going to say tonight, but it is true. When I go to the bar and they have a Firestone or they have a Sierra Nevada on tap, I don't order that.
Me neither.
Order the Fieldwork. I order the Moonraker. I order Track 7. I order some other brewery that's smaller, local, and usually it's something I haven't had before, you know, something new. So,
and that's always the ones that I'm texting you guys about, like, hey, have you even heard of this brewery? We just had a beer from there. It's really good, you know?
Yeah.
I think what it is, too, is some of these bigger breweries, they just make too many beers, and I think that might be that they're trying to keep up with some of the smaller, more innovative breweries. I think it's good to see them just focus on fewer beers. We've talked about it before. When you go to pick up a beer, there's just too many choices. And I think a lot of consumers don't want that many choices. Like, they want variety, but they don't want so many choices that it's just like always changing. So I like the idea of going back and focusing on fewer beers.
Yeah. But also, you know, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, Firestone Pale 31, they are old beers that haven't changed in 10, 12 years, but everything else has changed.
And people's palates have changed.
People's palates have changed. The styles people like have changed. Everything has changed. We're in a completely different world than we were 10 years ago. And they're going to have to change if they want to keep up with the smaller, leaner breweries.
But mark my words, I think that, like, especially we've seen it happen a little bit where we're moving away from the West Coast IPAs where it's like so hoppy you can't even, like, you're chewing it, to the juicy ones like Northeast is taking over, right? Like, that craze is coming on. I think that pale ales are going to come back around and people are going to get so tired of all the like crazy hoppy beers that kill your taste buds that it's going to be like, oh my gosh, like pale ales
look
are the new thing.
Look how simple this beer is. It's great.
Yeah, it's so simple. It's amazing.
You could be right because we were super West Coast, so bitter, so hoppy, and then the juicy Northeast comes in. Sweet. We're moving that way. And then I do think that there's something to be said for pale.
There's a place for it, just maybe not right now.
Also, now this is getting a little long, but we have gotten to the point where you used to go to the bar and order a beer, and it would be 6%. Pale ale, Sierra Nevada pale ale, Firestone pale 31, 6%. Now every beer you go and drink is 9% or 10%. And they're all these hazy double IPAs. And that's the style now. But you can't really go and drink three beers and expect to drive home.
Yeah.
You're going to be pretty fucked up after a short amount, certain amount of time.
I'll just say one thing. Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale, Sierra Nevada Hot Bullet, Sierra Nevada
Hop Hunter.
Hop Hunter. Those three. Those cost me $7 to $8 per six pack. I paid $14 for a 12-ounce cans, four 12-ounce cans, four pack, $12. You know what? Sometimes I just want a good, inexpensive six pack, and I'll always go back to those.
Yep. Very good point. All right, let's get into the next beer, man. We did some talking.
Got a little verbose.
That needed to be said, though.
We did some talking. Now let's do some drinking. We have Aprium Dream from Urban Family Brewing in Seattle, Washington. This one is 6.3%.
Do you guys know what an aprium is?
For sure.
I didn't know until today.
It's a room where you keep your apes.
No, it's like a hybrid of a apricot and a plum.
Oh, it's not like a atrium.
So it's
apes.
It's a fruit. It's a fruit. It's
aprium.
I don't know who grows these, or I mean, it's a hybrid of combining these two fruits.
I assume some farmers.
Okay, we have a more classic color beer here.
This smells like a Chardonnay. I'm trying to figure out if I'm messed up from the previous beer, but this comes across real strong, buttery Chardonnay.
No, it smells like apricots.
It smells like plums to me. Smells like sweet plums.
So this is a clear golden color. There is
a little haze.
Mine has very little haze.
Yeah, ours is very clear.
Very clear. Couple small little bubbles.
Yeah, no head again.
There's a thin rim of carbonation around the side, and little bubbles on the top where it looks like when you pour Martinelli's.
Martinelli's, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when you look at the top of it, it looks kind of like that.
I just want to say that this smells fantastic.
I was going to say the same thing. I smell pure like apricot, but also some plum. Yes. It smells phenomenal.
I want to eat it.
Jeff's looks a lot more... His is more bubbly than ours.
It smells like shisha, kind of, before you smoke it. Like the real sticky, like...
Oh, man.
Tobacco.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not as sweet. It doesn't taste as sweet as I thought it would be from the aroma.
But talk about a mouthfeel. This brew, it just coats your mouth and it feels really good. And it's got some very sharp sour to it that I like a lot.
It does. I think that's, you hit the nail on the head, Joel. I think it's a sharp sour and it's good.
It tastes like a tart green apple.
Again?
Joel's right. Like you feel the stickiness like all over your teeth, and it's a good thing. I like that the texture of this.
And this mouth feels impressive.
It's got like it's definitely carbonated, but it's not like a real effervescent carbonation. It's
more carbonated than that last beer.
Yeah.
But I would still call it undercarbonated.
Yeah, I would too, but it's there.
It makes a big difference having just a little bit.
Yeah,
it really does.
And it's kind of got so prevalent. It really does kind of remind me of the Martinelli's, except for Martinelli's is very sweet, and this is very tart.
I like this because it's not too sour. It's kind of got that lip smacking tartness, but it's not overwhelmingly sour.
Nope,
it's all up in the front and in your mouth, on your tongue, but it's not in your throat. This is good. I'm glad I had this.
Isn't this good? It doesn't give me heartburn, which is good. It's just so refreshing. It's like not super heavy. It's not sweet, which is good, but it's not overly tart either. It's not pucker the back of your mouth sour.
No, it doesn't give you that pang in the back of your teeth or molars.
I mean, this is a beer like some people are turned off by sour beers if like the first one they have is just bad. And because I think there's some really good sour beers and some bad sour beers. But if you have this as your first sour beer, I think this will get you into sour beers.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's hard to go wrong with this one. All right, we're going to take our quick break. And when we come back, we have two more beers to try. The Pulley Nails Barrel Age Sour from Side Project and Song Royale 2016 Cascade Brewing, Portland, Oregon. All that when we come back. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you like this show and you want to help us out, you can do that one of two ways. The first way is by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. On the right-hand side, there's a little banner that says Shop on Amazon. You click that, you do your regular shopping. It doesn't cost you anything more, and we get a little percentage from Amazon. So if you spend 10 bucks, then we're going to get 60 cents or so, something like that. Is that right on the math? Something like that.
Seems high.
Well,
half a percent, a little more than half a percent.
Spend 100 bucks and we'll get 4%. Or six, or
or $4.
Spend $100 and we'll get $4 or $6 somewhere in there. So if you shop on Amazon through the website, you can help us out and help us pay for all these sour beers that are not cheap. You can also help us out by rating and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. If you go to iTunes and type in Beer Podcast, you'll see Beer of the Day somewhere on that list. Rate us, and of course, you probably rate us a 5.
Of course.
Or at least a 3.
I would.
But probably a 5. And then that helps us move up the ranking so that other people that want to search for Beer Podcasts find us easier. And that helps us build more listeners who then shop on Amazon, who then pay the bills around here and help keep the lights on.
We'll get their 60 cents too.
That's right. Thanks for supporting the show. All right, you guys ready? You want to just run, go right into it?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, here.
You want to do it?
No, you're good at it. Better than this. This broski.
He used to be.
Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast, our sour show. We're moving into the third beer of the night, and we're cranking it up to 10% now. This is Pulling Nails, a barrel-aged sour from Side Project Brewing in St. Louis, Missouri. Jeff, did we go to Side Project?
We did not, but I went there on a separate trip, and it's been a little while, but I brought these bottles back from St. Louis, and I even brought one to your house and took one home. That's why we have two.
I've had a few beers from Side Project. I remember them all being very good.
I think this is the most expensive beer I've ever bought in my life. If I remember correctly, these were $30 a bottle. So you guys better like this.
Well, we'll see.
Thanks for raising my expectations.
I know. Seriously.
Yeah. Go try to buy it. Yeah. Never mind.
Okay.
What?
What happened?
What?
Hold on. Let me get a paper towel. Mine just like started spewing out.
You wasted like $7 of beer there, Jeff.
That was fun.
He looks confused.
No, I went. So I opened it and it started spewing out. So I went to like slurp it up. So, you know, so it doesn't spill over. And when I did that, there's so much carbonation that then I choked on it.
So happens when you slurp it up, buddy.
You gotta take your time with it, man.
God, it just starts spewing out.
All right, so this one is a darker color. It looks like the color of Coca-Cola.
Yep.
The carbonation is definitely the most carbonated beer we've had. The color of it is kind of a dark cream color.
Tan.
The head.
Khaki.
What I say? Yeah. The head.
So I'm smelling this, and I would when I smell it, I go, "Oh, this is a." This is a barrel-aged porter.
No, so hold on. So it poured before that. Sorry. It poured with a monster head. It was like a 2 or 3 finger head, and it's slowly receded to kind of like a thin covering over the top. But I'm looking at the bottle, and the bottle still has a monster head inside the bottle.
Yes, it does.
Yep.
I do get, this does smell a little like a porter. You don't get the fruity sour smells.
Not at all.
You get caramel and you get a little bit of maltiness.
I think it kind of smells like Coca-Cola.
Alcohol. It smells like alcohol.
I think it smells like soda.
I can see that.
I smell fruit like a Belgian style with a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
It smells like a Belgian quad if I were
going
to compare it.
So wow. This is interesting. You do get the sour up front. But then I get kind of a Coca-Cola root beer type of flavor immediately after that.
I feel like it tastes like a sour coffee beer.
I don't get too much coffee. Towards
like
the end,
sour coffee and caramel.
I get a lot of like dark fruit on the back end. You know what's interesting about this beer, and they do this with a lot of their beers, is they age them in different types of barrels and different styles of beer, and then they blend them together. And that's this is a blend number 6. I don't know exactly what that means, but when I went to the brewery, everything there is like they have two beers that you can try separately, or they blend them together, and then they age them for a really long time.
The finish, like 30 seconds later, if you exhale through your nose, tastes like raisins.
I'm having a hard time describing this beer because the entire sequence of the taste is like a freaking journey.
It really is.
It is.
It goes through the upfront instant sour where you're like, oh, this is just going to be a really sour beer. And then it instantly turns into something like caramel. I do get a little bit of that coffee and the little bit of even Belgian.
Belgian is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Like it's tough when it gets sour at the beginning. Because you can't really taste the beer through the sourness. But after 3 or 4 sips, I think this is a Belgian beer at the base.
I'd say with
sour on top.
It's like a Belgian quad that got sour. That's what I taste.
It's really impressive.
It's actually really sour. I'm at like a 3rd or 4th sip in. It's still giving me kind of like a pang in my molars.
Jeff, what do you think of this beer?
I think it's super complex. I mean, I feel like there's a ton of different flavors, whether it's sourness, caramel sweetness, like dark fruit flavors, the Belgian yeast. I think it's a little all over the place, but in a good way where it's like this, you bring it all together into a very like nice finished product.
It kind of tastes like a sour Dr. Pepper, like prunes, dark fruits.
Without the sweetness.
Yeah. I think if it were, I almost want to like leave the bottle a little bit and try it again warm too, because I think letting it warm up even further would bring out a lot of different stuff.
It says to drink it at 50 degrees, which it's definitely lower than that right now.
I also think I'm not getting a ton of alcohol at 10%. I'm glad it's not over boozy.
Yeah.
I think the carbonation and the sour make it not overly boozy.
I think there's a lot of carbonation. Like if you swirl this around in your glass, like the head just keeps getting thicker and thicker.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away. And I just like that. There's a ton of lacing on the glass. It's really like foamy and creamy. This is one that like I would just love to sip all night long.
Yeah, I'd say it's highly carbonated also. Like the first two got a little, the second one was a little more carbonated than the first one, which had no carbonation. This one is actually making me have to burp a little bit.
But I just looked and the blends for this, it's blended in both bourbon barrels and wine barrels, which I think creates an interesting combination. It's a little bit of sweetness from the bourbon and a little bit of fruit probably from the wine barrels.
Definitely an interesting beer.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
A couple of comments this week. Rex Mundy from Pueblo, Colorado, left a comment on episode 83, Rocky Mountain Beer. We did a show with all Colorado beers. He says, as a Colorado resident, I agree that we have many amazing beers. I love Funkworks and Crazy Mountain. You also featured a Crooked Stave. You should look more at them. They have some unique beers. I enjoy the Wild Sage Mountain Saison. Well, Rex, we took your advice and we had a Crooked Stave as the first beer of the night tonight. So thank you for the suggestion, and I'm glad that we got to try it. On Facebook, Eric Bartz sent us a message. He says, please keep the beers you post every day fresh and available to buy today. We accidentally let Sierra Nevada Beer Camp Tropical IPA become the beer of the day. And that beer isn't out anymore. And what happens is that if Jeff or I forget to schedule a beer, it just picks a beer from the past. And sometimes those beers are ones that you can't get anymore. So Eric wasn't happy that we were featuring an old beer, and we apologize for that.
And we will definitely reprimand the programming team.
Those who are responsible have been sacked.
Well, hey, I would tell Eric, help us out. Write some descriptions of beers and take some photos and put them on the website. Maybe we'll make one the beer of the day.
That's right. So, also, on Twitter, we got a message from Evolution Craft Brewing Company. They said, hello, I am contacting you on behalf of Evolution Craft Brewing Company. I am their marketing intern and a huge fan of this page. I was just wondering if there's any way you could get on this page. If so, what can we do? Well, we wrote back and told them how to get featured on the page. We said, send us some beer. And they did. Evolution Craft Brewery mailed us three different beers, and on March 2nd, we featured the first of those. Their lot number 3 IPA was the beer of the day on March 2nd, and Jeff tried those beers, and he enjoyed that their IPA for sure, their flagship. So,
where are they from? Do you know?
Maryland.
The first beer we ever had from Maryland. We realized that we never had a Maryland beer before, so we got to feature a beer from a different part of the country, and it was great that they sent it to us, and we were happy to try it.
And they should give their marketing intern a raise. That's genius.
Or even a paycheck.
Maybe it's paid internship. I don't know.
Maybe. Anyway, thanks for reaching out to us, and thanks for sending us the beer. It was our pleasure to give it a try. All right, let's get into the final beer of the night. This is the Song Royal 2016. This is 9.4% from Cascade Brewing in Portland, Oregon. This is a brewery we all went to in Portland and had a great time there. They are world renowned for their sours.
I'm struggling to open this.
So, yeah, Andy and Jeff are over here
racing,
trying
corks
as hard as they can to open this bottle and pull this cork out.
You need to soak at the cork.
Ah, there we go. The cork speaks to the quality of this beer. No amateurs can get into it.
This one kind of looks like the last one, maybe a tad lighter.
It's a tad lighter.
Just a kind of a dark brown. You can see through it, and it's got a nice ruby jewel at the bottom.
What?
What?
It can stuff up here.
Me? No, look, it's
a ruby jewel?
Yes.
It's the reflection of the glass or something. Now
that's
you said this beer
that's poetic.
It's like the last one, but this one is more red than the last one.
Yeah.
This
very
is a,
red.
This is a red, beautiful looking beer. It's like
it's like a cherry Dr. Pepper.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, kind of.
Back when they made that.
I think they still do, don't they?
I don't know.
No. Anyway.
It's a beautiful cherry Dr. Pepper color.
Thin head, barely anything.
But more than the first two beers, but definitely less than the pulling nails.
Yeah, just a rim around the side of head, quite thin, small bubbles.
If you give it a little
off-white color.
If you give it a little twirl and a little bit of shake, some of that carbonation does come up and create more head.
Now, the aroma is subdued on this one. I'm not getting as strong an aroma as I did on the previous beers.
I get.
Are you guys getting that as well?
I get NyQuil.
Like the green one?
No, the cherry one.
Now, I've had this beer before at the brewery on tap, so looking forward to this taste, and I don't know if I'll be able to compare and contrast, but I've had this beer before in all fairness.
Sounds like tart cherries.
Yeah, I'm not getting a whole lot from
maybe
it.
Maybe with coffee.
Maybe a little bit of fig smell, maybe just dates maybe.
This beer is not particularly sweet. Obviously, sour is the most prevalent flavor, but this is a darker beer underneath the sourness.
It's very sour, but there's no pucker. It's very smooth, easy to drink.
I think this is excellent. I mean, I said this on the podcast before that Cascade is the brewery that got me into liking sour beers. And having this and other ones at the brewery, I just think the quality is so good. It's like not too sweet, not too sour. It's very well balanced. I think this is just what I look for in a sour beer.
One of my favorite beers of all time is their Black Cap Raspberry. It's so good. I haven't had it in a while. I know they still make it. I hope they do.
So one of my fondest memories of drinking with all of you folks is we had done a weekend of drinking in Portland, Oregon, and we were pretty hungover. I think we were all seriously suffering from
alcohol poisoning.
Alcohol poisoning, as well as the worst heartburn that a collective group of five people could have together.
I didn't have heartburn.
We went through like $400 in Prilosec in one day.
Oh, I thought you were going to say burritos because we did that too.
For some reason, we decided that we were going to walk to Cascade, even though we could have easily have just Ubered there. I'm not sure what the reason was, but we walked and...
Like, I don't think we thought it was that far away. And
on the map, it's only 3 inches.
But it ended up being like, you know, like a 2 mile walk. Anyways, we got there and one of the worst experiences for me was trying to drink quality beer with the worst heartburn in the world.
Quality tart beer.
Yeah, you know it's
when
good.
You already have heartburn.
Like you're drinking it and you know it's good and you can't take another sip. It was the worst, best experience I've ever had.
Yeah. Well, because like when you drink this, there's some acidic flavors. I mean, it's a tartness that burns a little bit.
Yeah, I think Jeff, you said it really well. Like this beer is like a defined, like crafted, like just really enjoyable beer. I don't. But it's almost like you can just tell it was perfected. Like it's just a really clean taste.
I just like the combination of the fruit. I think you can taste the barrel. I mean, obviously this is barrel aged, so you get a little bit of that like oak flavor, and I think the barrel really adds like the smoothness to the mouthfeel. It's refreshing and crisp like you want in a sour beer, but it's just really smooth. Like the finish, it just lingers with a really like pleasant smoothness.
I agree with everything Jeff said. I think that especially at first it seems simple, but the barrel tends to add a depth to it that's really enjoyable. Like it's not super complex, but it adds enough to make it interesting. And then it does kind of and pretty crisply, I think, for sour. Generally, I think of sours as kind of like sticking around for a little while, but this one's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's recap the beers we've had tonight, and we'll figure out what our favorite beer of the day is. Britton.
All right. We started off with the Cassis Petite Sour from Crooked Stave Artisan Beer Project. We had Aprium Dream from Urban Family Brewing. After the break, we had Pulling Nails Barrel Aged Sour from Side Project Brewing. And we finished the Sour Power Hour off with the Song Royale from Cascade Brewing.
And thanks to our discussion on pale ales, it was actually an hour.
And let's see. Joel goes first tonight.
All right, I'm going to say it now because I know you're all going to copy me. Pooling Nails Barrel Aged Sour from Side Project Brewing. I mean, like I said before when I was on and we were tasting it live, I mean, it is a journey. It's the caramel, it's the upfront sour, it's the dark malts, and it's that Belgian yeast. This is a kaleidoscope of flavors, and I just was really excited to just experience it.
I'm going to concur with Joel on that one. I was surprised. You don't know what to expect. And that one, after 3, 4, 5 sips, you get different things with each sip. And then at the end, you realize, hey, this is a really quality Belgian ale with kind of a sour layer on the top of it, is what it boiled down to. But it took a while to get to that realization for me. And I was glad I had that one. Jeff.
You know, I have to agree with you guys. I thought tonight each beer got progressively better, but then, you know, I like the Cascade a lot at the end, but I think back and it's a really good beer, but I don't think it's my favorite beer from the Song Royale. It's not my favorite from Cascade. It's really tasty, but I think just the experience to have the Side Project, the craftsmanship and skill that went into making that, it's a one of the most complex beers I've had, and I agree with everything each of you just said. It's just a really like special treat to try this. So I'm going to Side Project also.
So I'm having a hard time with this because I thought when I had it, I was going to pick Pulling Nails, a Side Project beer. It's very complex. It's definitely the most complex of any of these beers, but I love that Cascade. It's kind of like the perfect sour beer. It checks all the boxes. It's not overly complex, but it's very smooth. There's no off-putting tartness or anything like that. So I'm going to go with that one.
Good pick.
All right. Now I'm going to go rounded out to an even four. I'm doing the Pulling Nails Barrel Aged Sour. Like Jeff said, and like everyone else said, it's very complex. And I just think it's probably the most complex beer I've ever had. Like Dallas said, every time I took a sip, I could pick something different out. So it was definitely a beer that I'm very glad I tried.
All right. Well, we have pretty good consensus with one dissenting opinion. Overall, pretty good run through some sours from around the country. And that's going to conclude the Sour Power Hour. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, check out our website, beertheday.com. And if you're on Facebook, like us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/thebeeroftheday. If you're on Twitter, you can follow us at Beer of the Day. And on Instagram, we are at Beer of the Day site. On our next program, we are going to head to the southern part of the country and try four different beers from down south. We haven't had a lot of beers from Alabama and all around the south, so we're going to have a lot of different ones to try. So be sure to tune in for that. For Andy Hamilton, Britton Miner, Joel Miner, and Jeff Miller, I'm Dallas Helliker. You've been listening to the Beer of the Day podcast.